Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 348, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, with joy and gladness in my soul. I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before Him there, and bow before Him there. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 348. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 84th Psalm, Psalm 84. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 84. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And so far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all faithful, and all sufficient God, thou who givest us again, despite all that lives within, and what comes forth from us moment by moment, for we are evil, born in sin. And thou desirest truth within, O thou alone, our Savior art, do teach thy wisdom to our hearts. Therefore we come together in this morning hour, and then it behooves us, O Lord, to lay ourselves before thee upon the face of the earth. For all the wretchedness and for all the sin, which is known by thy all-searching eye, and that does penetrate through all the hypocrisy, that does penetrate through all that we show before our fellow men, and that does search the inmost recesses of our heart. And then we are not able to stand before thee in the judgment. For one sin thou couldst cast us forever away. And we are from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, then it is alone thy great long-suffering mercies, and that we are not yet consumed, and that we are given still a foot of ground upon this world, and that we may still breathe the air, and that we may still wake in the morning. Lord, wilt thou show to us how great our sins and our miseries are, but wilt thou give to us that love for thee, that may make us so to mourn, and that we may desire to be washed, to be cleansed, and to be made fit to come into thy holy presence. When we are here in this morning hour, all thou didst say to thy people, and when they would approach unto thee, sanctify yourselves, put away the idols, and appear before the Lord. O Lord, give us then to put them all away. And wilt thou thyself wash and cleanse us. And the blood of thy dear Son, O that thou may be indeed our Savior. And that thou would take away all our guilt. That thou would take away all our filthiness and all our pollution, and that thou would make us fit to dwell with thee, oh, to come into thy holy presence again, that we may be renewed in heart and in life. Seek us out, O Lord, young and old together. We travel to a great eternity, and by nature eyes closed, the heart rebellious, walking without a care, and then without God in the world, and knowing not the greatness of our wretchedness and of our misery, and to so remain all our life long in that same state and condition as we have been born, especially under the means of grace, then our end that shall be so, so awful. Lord, that thou may look on us this day when we are come round about this thy word of truth, and when it is thy own holy institution that thou hast given for the sake of gathering thy people, even unto the youngest day of the world, or that place wherein that thou wilt convert sinners, wherein thou wilt feed thy people, wherein thou promisest, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, we beseech it of thee then, to show thyself and the truth of thy promises also in this morning hour, that thou thyself may come in our midst, and that it may be felt and experienced by many, and that it may be the day of thy good pleasure for many to be born in Zion. O thou sayest that we ought to ask it of thee. Lord, thou art a God that is almighty, and then there is nothing too great in this world to ask of thee, but thou art able to perform it. Oh, that thou wouldst do it then in our midst, and that in this morning hour, and that thou wouldst take young and old by heart and by hand, and that thou would begin us upon that journey, and that goes, as we have read out of thy holy word, from strength to strength, and that it may be unto Zion, and that the people may desire, and that they may come into thy holy presence, there to prostrate themselves before thee. O, look thou upon thy own children. Lord, we have read it together. And they pass through the valley of Baca, and they do make it a well. O, the rain also filleth the pools. O, Lord, could it please thee also in this morning so to make it for thy children, that we may receive the unction of thy Spirit from above, or that we may receive much wisdom, that we may receive much grace, that there may be milk for the babes, that there may be meat for the older ones, and that thou thyself may lead thy church by our hand. And wilt thou give that there may be fruits upon our labors, in the midst of our flock wherein thou dost place us. Lord, do it for thy own great name's sake. And wilt thou testify that we are thy servant, and that thou usest us as a little instrument in thy holy fingers for the upbuilding of thy church and for the comfort of thy Zion. Lord, remember us all together and all the needs and the cares also of this life, which can be so many. For one, the afflictions are greater than the other. Lord, remember all those that have serious sicknesses and diseases in this world, those that do suffer from pains and afflictions in the body or in the mind. Wilt thou be near on their right and on their left day by day? Wilt thou bless afflictions to the welfare of the souls? Look thou upon all that are old and ailing, those that may commemorate, that they may receive years added unto their lives, and then even to a very great age. Lord, thou knowest where that they are this day, in thy house and also in the nursing home. Oh, that thou may be near and dear unto them. in the last time of life. And could it please thee that the old bones also may be given to bow before thee, and that the lips may it speak thy praise. Lord, remember all thy servants. Oh, increase their number. Give us all together instruction from above. And wilt thou strengthen for the labors of our hands over the length and breadth of the whole world. Give this day what is necessary to bring thy word in all of its beauty, in all of its fullness, law and gospel. And oh, that many may be brought in even in the end of the world. It is for the sake of thy church that the world does still stand. For thou sayest thou hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they may turn unto thee and live. Oh, that it may be that thou hast known from eternity may also be brought in this day. And Lord, leave us not to ourselves. In all the labors of our hands, each one of us in our place in this world, wilt thou go before us in this morning hour. Lord, help us. Oh, stand on the right and on our left, and do look upon us when thy word is to be brought to the youth, to the children, to the older ones together. Drive thou out the buyers and the sellers. We have no desire for thee by nature, Lord. And it could be that we have come up in a way of carelessness, or that we have come up with no desire in our heart, or that we have come up that as out of form and out of custom. Oh, could it please thee that this hour may be an hour of the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may go from this place different than we have come in, and that forever, to that never-ending eternity, oh, that blessed power of God, and that one-sided work, oh, that it may be glorified for this hour, oh, that the angels in heaven this hour may sing over one sinner that repenteth and that must smite upon his breast and to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O, take reasons out of thyself to remember us in this little moment wherein we stand still upon our journey to that great eternity, putting aside all the things of the time and of the sense, and for a moment to consider from where we have come and to where we do go. Lord, hear us for the sake of him whom thou always hearest and in whom thou art well pleased, for the sake of thy only begotten Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 115 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The last collection today is for the treasured meditations. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee. For thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? The first three stanzas of Psalter 115. congregation next month, the Lord willing, then we hope to commemorate the Holy Supper of the Lord. And you know that for that supper, that it is necessary that we prepare, that we are called, we read in God's Word, to examine ourselves. But there is another supper that has already begun, and wherein much of that church militant, they have already entered as they have become a church triumphant. And thus, the Lord's Supper in this world, that is not the final end. No, but we must also prepare whether we ourselves shall ever enter into that place where we shall enjoy the supper of the Lord to all eternity. And in that way, every sermon, and that ought to be a sermon of a preparation. And so also our whole life, and that ought to be a life of preparation. And then especially as in this time we do consider something of the life of Abraham, then we find that there is so much that is also fitting in this way. And therefore we like to draw this to your attention so that these things, they are already in our minds and in our hearts. Our text for this morning hour, and we wish to consider, is taken from Genesis 22, and we wish to consider in a special way this morning with the Lord's help, the sixth verse. Genesis 22, the sixth verse. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. So far the words of our text. Abraham and Isaac go together to worship. First, Isaac goes to worship, and second, Abraham goes to worship. Abraham and Isaac go together to worship. First, Isaac, second, Abraham go to worship. And they went, both of them, together. Congregation, what a beautiful picture. Father and son, they are walking together. What a blessed thing that the Lord has given to man in this world, when he has given to man family, father and a son, mother and a daughter, maybe even as they are dwelling together, there is in that same place a grandfather and a grandmother. Each of them, they are dwelling together. And what a blessed thing when they may, as we read here together, when they may go together. And they went, both of them, together. Satan, he attempts to sow disunity within that family. What did the first temptation, what did that occasion? We read it in God's Word. Then Adam, he is pointing his finger at his wife. Not only at his wife, but at the Lord, the woman, whom thou gavest to be with me. She gave me of the fruit, and I did eat. Restraining grace. That is a great blessing in this world. That the Lord is still giving in this world a measure of peace, that we may all dwell together. And that it is a special blessing when such a peace and when such a unity that may dwell even in the midst of our families. Oh, do you work now for that, young people? Do you work now for that, children? And that you may go, as we read here, together, because it is only a short time that we may go together. And they went, both of them, together. But you understand that there is much more here than what we have thus far mentioned, because there is not merely here a going together in a carnal way. It is not a mere going together in an earthly way. It is not a mere working together for all the things that we may work for, labor for in this life. But where are they going? Abraham said to his servants, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Thus, what do we see? We see a father and a son, and they are going to worship. What a great blessing when a father and a mother will now take those children, that offspring, whom the Lord has given to them, and they will bring them round about God's word of truth at the table. Maybe in the morning, maybe in the evening, when they may read that word, maybe that they may even speak a few words about that word. What a blessing when a father, when a head of a household, or when he is bowing his head, when he is beseeching the Lord for his children, for his family. What a blessing, mothers, for your children, when they are still young, that you are taking them to their bed, and that you are taking their hands in your hands, and when you are teaching them to pray. Oh, what a blessing when a father and a mother will lead their children by the hand and will bring them up unto the house of the Lord, that they may be instructed in that word of the Lord. What a blessing. And they went, both of them, together. But, young people, how old is Isaac here? He is actually not here anymore, just a little boy. No, he has grown into a strong young man. Probably he is here about 25 years of age. Certainly, he has become old enough. He has become strong enough for his father to lay upon his shoulders the wood for that sacrifice. And took, we read, the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Thus, we see a father and his son, and they are going together to this place of worship. And that is now, and yet we see here a greater blessing. Why? Because this son has come of age. Because this son, he is not to be taken by his hand anymore. But because this son, he is going forward along the side of his father by his own choice. Oh, what a wonder. What a wonder in the life of parents, young people. You do not understand that all yet rightly. But what a wonder that is to your father and to your mother, who have from their earliest days bent their knees, who have from your earliest days attempted with all their shortcomings to instruct you and to teach you in the way of the Lord. And now when all the cares, and when all the concerns, and when all the cries unto God, or when they may have even this fruit, this outward fruit even, oh, then we cannot tell you what a joy is now in the heart of your father and of your mother. The Apostle John, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And they went, both of them, together. And yet there is a greater blessing. Yet there is a greater blessing. And how can it be greater than this? Or can yet be? Can yet be? Because it could be that that son, it could be that that daughter, it could be that that young person, they are going to that house of worship not only out of a mere respect for father and for mother, or that they are going not only because it is the way that they have been brought up in their youth, but that they are going because there is an inward flame. They are going because there is a burning. They are going because there is a desire that is born and that is living in their own heart. So we see it here. Oh, what a blessing. So we see it here in Isaac. A young man with that tender fear of the Lord living in his heart. Oh, children, young people, oh, does that fear of the Lord now also live in your young heart? And they went, both of them together. So we see it. A father and a son. They are walking together in company. But they also have hearts. They have hearts that are knit together. And what is it that is uniting those two hearts together? It is love. The love of the Lord. All that is living in the heart of this father. And now the love of the Lord that is living, that has been planted in the heart of his dear son. Oh, fathers and mothers. Oh, it is the Lord himself that is pleased to work in the generations of his children. Oh, what an advantage. Oh, will we not then lay upon our knees day and night for the sake of our own children. And so this father, he has risen up, we read, early in the morning.
And then he has said to his son, "Son, come, because together we are going to go and we are going to do sacrifice." And now when this son may hear it, oh, is that the way it was with you two also, children, this morning? Young people, it is possible that it is also here in our midst. A little boy, a little girl, a young man, a young woman. Oh, it is possible that upon that Sunday morning, that they do rise up in the morning with such a joy in the heart, because it is now the Sabbath day, and they may now go up unto the house of the Lord. And they went, both of them together. And now how is it when the Lord is now beginning in the life of his people? What is now that most essential element of that new life? The most essential element. That is love. Love. O congregation, examine now. Examine your own heart. Does such a love exist in your heart? Next time, the Lord willing, then we also hope to speak about conviction. Conviction. And conviction, that is also necessary. But we're going to go slow. We want to go slowly along here for a few Sabbath days with Abraham and with Isaac. We don't always have to go fast. How do you read the Bible, children, young people? There is so much in there. Or we do not need to read it like we read another book. We do not need to read it like we read a novel. You read them too? They are not worth your time, your precious time. All to take up that word of God and now to read, but also to think, but also now to meditate and now to walk slowly along the first fruit of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, what is it? Paul speaks to the Galatians, and he speaks about the fruits of the Spirit. And what is the first fruit of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul mentions? It is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And now without love, all conviction brings no sorrow. Brings no sorrow. No love in Judas. Much conviction. Hard conviction. But no love and no sorrow. It seems that when the Lord will begin with a person, when they are older, that very often those two things, they are coming in their life together, love and sorrow. Oh, think about a Manasseh. Think about a Saul of Tarsus. Oh, then it was in that moment that the Lord came with his law. And then the Lord plants these two things together so that there is weeping, so that there is sorrow. But it seems that when the Lord will begin in the heart of a little child, oh, then it seems that these two things, that the one that is much more in the foreground than the other, and that the Lord is giving in the heart of a little child the love for the Lord burning in his heart. Oh, the Lord will show him his sin step by step in his own time. We hope to see it. But now first that love. And they went, both of them together. And where are they going? I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Oh, what a blessed thing is living in the heart of that young church. What is it? Oh, it is a desire to worship God. A desire to worship the Lord. Oh, did you ever have such a desire? That is not the same as a desire to go to the heavenly city. No, Bunyan warned about this because he saw, because he told also of a Pliable. And that's all that Pliable was speaking about, was that heavenly city, that heavenly city. But now in that new life, that is not longing in the first place for that heavenly city, no. But it is longing for the God of that heavenly city. Hear it in the confession of a Ruth. Then her confession reaches the climax. She says, thy people, my people. Yes, but why? Oh, then she comes to it. In the end, the highest part, oh, that ultimate desire of her heart. Thy God, my God, oh, that most essential point. Why? Because we did not leave that heavenly city, no. We left that God. We left that God in paradise. And it is now that God unto whom the Lord is uniting his own people again. David, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. Or is that now what is living in your heart? I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Oh, what is the desire of that new life? That they may worship him again. We were made to worship. Only look around, young people. Only read it in your history, social studies textbooks. Oh, man, bowing, bowing, bowing. Allah, sun, moon, stars, earth, wood, stone, gold, silver, bowing. All made to worship, feeling something missing in his life, with all that is carnal, with all that is vain, with all that is passing away. But he has lost the knowledge of the true God. And he has come in rebellion against that God. And now what does the Lord do? Oh, he shows that people that God again. And he gives them love for him. Oh, no. That is not that same desire as we desire to come to the house of the Lord in order that we may meet our friends there. Or maybe that we like that social gathering. Maybe that it feels good for us to speak about things that are not always of this world. Maybe. But now, that new desire, that new desire that is going out, not only after what is social, not merely after what is carnal, but after God, the true and the living God. Oh, it is by that life that a little child, he begins to remember his Creator in the days of his youth. And they went, both of them together. What a blessed longing, congregation, of that new life. Oh, what did David say? My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Oh, the courts of the Lord, the courts of the Lord. How that new life does long for those courts of the Lord. Does your heart also? And why? Why does your heart long for the courts of the Lord? Oh, is it because your heart does long for the Lord of those courts? For the Lord of those courts? My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. What did David say? Why? Why did his heart long for that house of the Lord? He says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Will you remember that, children, young people? What David says that he saw in the sanctuary of God. He says, I saw there the power of God in his sanctuary. Oh, that is that new life. The knowledge that can be so small, but now that power that is so great. Ask them, the little ones, ask them, explain it now. Tell it to me now. Oh, they cannot tell it to you. They do not know what to say because the knowledge that is so small. But what do we hear? What do we sing? Oh, I feel thy power on every side. Oh, wondrous knowledge, awful might, unfathomed depth, unmeasured height. The power, and not only the power, oh, to see thy power and thy glory. Oh, that glory of the Lord that that young soul may see in that sanctuary of the Lord, whereby their heart that is drawn out after the Lord in his own sanctuary. Jeremiah, he says, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. A glorious high throne. What does the Lord say? He says, I will beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Oh, ask, young people, God's children, ask them once how it was when the Lord began in their life and what now happened in their soul concerning the house of the Lord, the sanctuary of the Lord, and if the Lord did not beautify his sanctuary, or if the Lord did not make the place of his feet glorious to their own soul, all to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Oh, what a love. Little knowledge, but great love. And when they cannot come to that house of the Lord, how is it, children? How is it now, young people? Oh, when they cannot come to that house of the Lord, what then? What is then living in the heart of the people? Oh, that we read also in that house of the Lord, David, far away from that sanctuary of God. Oh, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Oh, when shall I come and appear before God? Then his soul remembers. It thinks back to how that used to be when he says, I had gone with the multitude. I went with them unto the house of God, and with the voice of joy and of praise, with that multitude that kept holy day And then it is longing. Longing again. Why? Because it does experience that the way of the Lord, all that is in his sanctuary, who is so great a God as our God. Oh, there they have seen something of his glory, something of his strength, something of his power, something of his way in his sanctuary, though their mind is not able to say what it is. And they went forth, both of them together, I and the lad will go yonder to worship. And now that wood that is laid by Abraham on the shoulders of Isaac. What do you think, children? Do you think that Isaac now complained of this? He has to carry this wood. That will not be easy for him. Oh, he did not complain. We hear nothing of that in the word of the Lord. Why not? Oh, that wood is not heavy. And why is that wood not heavy? That wood is not heavy because of the love that is living in his heart. Oh, now ask. Oh, ask God's children. What is now heavy for the people? When that love is living in their heart, and when they may go up to the house of the Lord, oh, is it now too heavy that they have to bear this burden or that burden in this world? Oh, is it now too heavy that the weather is not good? Oh, that it is raining, that it is windy. Is it now too heavy that it is cold? Is it now too heavy that they feel not as so good in this morning as in other mornings? No, then there is no complaining. Why? Because of that love. And they went, both of them together. And we say first, Isaac. How did he go? Oh, Isaac. He goes in his ignorance. In his ignorance. That is the young life. That is the young life. It knows so little. But it loves so much. What does he not know? Isaac, children. What does Isaac not know? He does not know what is ahead of him. Or what that will be. What a trial that is before him. And his father, how does he deal with that? He hides it from him. He does not tell him. Oh, there is a time for everything. The burdens that are laid upon the fathers, all Abraham knows, they are not the burdens that are to be laid immediately upon the sons. Why not? Because our sons, they are not yet able to bear those burdens. All the time will come, but it is not yet. It is not yet. And so that young man, he may worship. And he may worship already upon the way, that he may go to that house of God with the voice of joy and of praise. And now so does the Lord. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Thus our children, they get to go play outside, and they get to go and run and jump and skip in that sunshine. And so that is now with those little ones in grace. Oh, they are given, they are permitted to run and to jump and to skip in the sunshine. And the love of the Lord that is living in their heart. Oh, they live out of love. They live out of desire. And with all their heart and mind, they cannot imagine that the world could ever be different from the world that they do experience. King Solomon, we read that he made a chariot. He made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. The pillars, they were of silver. The bottom thereof was gold. The covering that was of purple. And the midst thereof that was paved with love. For whom? For the daughters of Jerusalem. Paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. That love, that is the beginning. We cannot be without it. Oh, that is the first essential mark of that new life. And it is true, there are many counterfeits, and that is why we also need to go further, but this cannot be missing. And now that love, when it is true, when that love is true, it is going to carry them. It is going to carry the people from the beginning to the end. It is going to carry them through every trial. It is going to carry them through every tribulation, through every persecution. And it is going to remain with them when they are on their deathbed. And it is going to remain with them when they take their last breath here below. And it is going to go with them over that Jordan and into a never, never ending eternity. But let us sing first. Before we consider Abraham, out of 227, 1 and 3. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. 1 and 3 of 227.
And they went both of them together. Thus, there are two. There is not only an Isaac, but there is also an Abraham, his father. And how is it in our families when we may have more than one? Then there may be a blessed relation. There are those that are older. There are those that are younger. And those in the wisdom of the Lord, He has given that they may all dwell together. And they may be a particular prophet for one another. How is it now in the church of God? The Bible that speaks about young men, about children, about young men, and about fathers in grace. King Solomon, he speaks about the daughters of Jerusalem, then about the upright and the virgins, and finally, about the bride. And these, they travel together. And they are for the mutual benefit of one another. And thus we read it here also. And they went, both of them together, Isaac and Abraham. Where? I and the lad will go yonder and worship. They go to the same place. They go with the same purpose. They go with the same desire. Or with a love that never faileth. And yet, how different it is with these two. Indeed, Isaac, he may set out with that voice of joy and praise, in that way of true worship. But what is now congregation? The worship of Abraham. The life of God's children here below is one great lesson. And that is a lesson in worshiping. The Lord will teach His people how to worship Him. Oh, as a church triumphant one day, they will worship. And they will cast their crowns before the throne. And they will say, Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Oh, to worship. What does it mean to worship? To worship means to bow. To worship means to prostrate yourself. To worship, that means to pay homage. And now this life, a great lesson for the church, that they may know what to do one day in heaven. And now in that final state, faith, that will no longer be necessary. It will be exchanged for an eternal beholding. But now in the time, it is different. The worship of that true church here below is by faith. And what does Abraham do? He prostrates himself before God. He worships Him. How? By an unconditional obedience in that fiery trial of faith. Thus, when Isaac sets out worshiping by singing out his heart in love,
Abraham sets out worshiping by bowing before the Lord in faith. And so they went, both of them together. Abraham may look at his son, and he may fully understand what is now living in the heart of his son. Oh, he knows what that worship is. But Isaac, when he will look at his father, he can have no conception of what is living in his heart. Or a worship that is plagued by the most perplexing and distressing of questions and riddles about God, about his word, questions about God's delight in the blood of a man, questions about the changelessness of God's holy law, thou shalt do no murder. Questions, riddles, how it fits together. Natural love required to my son, obedience required to God. Questions, riddles about the truth of the promises of God. The changelessness of his decrees, the purity of his justice, plagued. Or if Isaac now, if he has to go without Isaac, down again from this mount, in whom shall all the nations of the earth be blessed? And now, if the God of creation is able to change his natural laws, the natural law of love and tenderness to my only son, oh, is Jehovah also able to change his eternal promise? A worship plagued by the fear of man. What man in the whole world will ever believe that I did this from the Lord? What nation in the whole world will not mock at the worship of that true Jehovah? How shall I ever come to look my dear wife in the face when I have murdered her son? And what do we read? And they went, both of them together, a worship that rose up early in the morning and that did not turn back for 3 days between Beersheba and Moriah. A worship that did not seek out the counsel of men, nor regard their reproofs. A worship that disdained every tie of the natural flesh for that one purpose, that he may prostrate himself before the Most High God, laying upon his Son that wood upon which he will soon lay his Son, carrying a knife destined to be thrust into a heart which he would rather thrust into his own. 3 days seeing his only Son burning in the fire that he is carrying in his own hand. And they went, both of them together, a worship that despised, that entrenched itself against everything that could come against it. Not saying to Sarah, she must be kept in ignorance, lest her womanly emotions would come in his way, leaving the servants behind, that not only the affections of a Sarah, but the natural reasonings of man would not be a stumbling block to him at the horror of such a piety, of such a religion. And they went, both of them together, 3 days, in an awful expectation. 3 days that he cannot share his burden with his most intimate spiritual companion, but alone could his heart speak unto God. 3 days, not knowing how that he shall tell the command of the Lord to his Son, and how that that tender love is going to bear up under that trial that is now before him. All 3 days, with an opportunity to return, while his reasoning, his mind, his intellect, that is reasoning, while his will, that is resisting, while his nature, while his affections, they are recoiling. But while faith is clinging with a desire to do what? With a desire to worship, or with a desire to worship him for whom nothing is a riddle, him for whom nothing is a question, and who is the solution to every riddle. Oh, that he may worship him for whom nothing is impossible. Though with man, all things are impossible. Worshipping. But the Lord will send salvation. And by day, his love provide. He will be my exaltation and my song at eventide. And so they went, both of them together. It is not the same. It is not the same. The same state, yes, but the condition of life, the standing of life, that is different. The one in the beginning, he worships, he sings, and the other, he worships, he bows, he agrees. He prostrates himself and he cleaves. And they go, both together, worshiping by a true, living faith. How is it? How is it? Oh, do we also know even the first beginnings of this life? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, and do instruct us in all thy truth, for we must be led from step to step, and there must come a beginning in our life. But Lord, thou knowest all that is living in the heart of thy children, and so indeed they go both together upon this journey here below. Oh, that thou thyself may give what is necessary to take the next step. Look upon us in the rest of this day. Bring us safely to our places and with desire together in this afternoon again in thy house of prayer. Bless thy word and forgive all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.
417, 1 and 3, send forth, O Lord of my salvation, and thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace, and thou wilt provide. 1 and 3 of 417. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.